help me, my brother, when Jack is fighting. So be gentle, love, people are calling. So be gentle, love, people are Yasharanda nava jujanarantana
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Okay. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse 23. Yes. Is that 23 up? That's 23. Sayam cha guru bivipray.
Sayam cha guru bivipray.
Sadarai stavarad api.
Sadarai stavarad api.
Ashibhi yutamanon ye. Vandibhischa vishatparam. Sayam chaguru bhivikai. Narai stavarai api. Ashibi yuchamana yai. Vandibi shavisa kalai.
Sayam chaguru
Sayam chaguru bhivipray.
Sadarai
stavarai api.
Ashibhi
yuchamana yai.
Vandibhi
shcha visatvaram. Sadarai stavirai api. Swayam, himself, cha, also, guru bhi, by elderly relatives, vipray, by the brahmanas, sadarai, with their wives, stavirai, invalid, api, also, ashibhi, by the blessing of Yuchamaha, being praised by Anya, by others, Bandibi, admirers, Cha, and Avisha, Enter. Puram, the city. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Then the Lord personally entered the city, accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord. Purport. The brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. When they were old invalids, they used to approach the assembly of the kings and simply by praising glorious deeds performed by the kings along with their wives, they would be provided with all necessities of life. Such brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the king, but the kings are actually glorified by their actions, and they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such brahmanas in a dignified way. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. So I was asked to read verse 24 as well, 21, because it was not read. Bhagavan sattabantunam pauranam anuvartinam yatavit upasangamya sarveshamanamatade. Translation. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome him. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is neither impersonal nor an inert object, unable to reciprocate the feelings of his devotees. Here the word yathavidhi, or just as it behooves, is significant. He reciprocates just as it behooves with his different types of admirers and devotees. Of course, the pure devotees are of one type only because they have no other object for service but the Lord. And therefore the Lord also reciprocates with such pure devotees just as it behooves. Namely, he is always attentive to all the matters of his pure devotees. There are others who designate him as impersonal, and so the Lord also does not take any personal interest. He satisfies everyone in terms of one's development of spiritual consciousness, and a sample of such reciprocation is exhibited here with his different welcomers. Mukam karati vachalam vangam langate girim yakupam tamam bande shigurandi vataranam om gyana timiram dasya gyananjara shalakaya chakshiriditam yena tasave shigurave namaha. So we heard yesterday all about how Krishna reciprocates with everyone in different ways. So many different ways. And verse 21 is also about that. So it was explained, I think, very well yesterday. Yeah, verse 21 was pretty much explained yesterday as well, except the only added thing here is that, the impersonalists, so he's impersonal with them. So if there were, I don't think there's any impersonalists in Dwarka, so not a problem. But yes, if you want to see the back of Krishna, then you'll see his back. If you want to see the front, you'll see the front. But the front is for the devotees, and the back is for the impersonalists. So like you turn your back on someone, that's pretty impersonal. So yeah, he turns his back on the impersonalists. And that's what they see, and that's why they think, you know, it's all no form. It's form is just the back. There's no form there. You just look at the back. Okay, so today's verse is about brahmanas and it's about the brahmanas chanting the glories of the Lord. So Prabhupada has said in one lecture that the brahmanas do not go to construct a big house. He simply constructs his character. And the kshatriyas and vaishyas, they offer him, please come here and sit down. So the kshatriya takes care of the brahmanas. The brahmanas, they practice the example of the snake, Ajagravriti. It's given in the 11th canto, 9th chapter, verse 15. One of the 24 gurus is the snake. So what do we learn from the snake? Here's what the verse says. When a person living in a temporary material body tries to construct a happy home, the result is fruitless and miserable. The snake, however, enters a home that has been built by others and prospers happily. So the snake is like the brahmana. And the purport, it says, the snake does not have the proclivity to build his own home, but rather lives in a suitable place constructed by other creatures. Thus he does not entangle himself in the labor of home building. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that although materialistic persons take unlimited plans to invent and mass-produce electricity, automobiles, airplanes, etc., ultimately, these things are meant for the convenience of the Vaishnavas who are preaching Krishna consciousness. So there's a purpose for all these things. The people just don't know the purpose. They're making it for the Vaishnavas. All the airplanes, all the cars, everything is for the Brahmanas. It's for the Vaishnavas to use. The karmis will always go to such trouble, and devotees will always offer such laborious productions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging them in his loving service. The devotees, being concerned with the ultimate perfection of life, do not personally struggle for material advancement. So Prabhupada comments on this on, it's a morning walk, in Denver, 1975. Prabhupada said, that is intelligence. Let this rascal work hard and make a nice park for us, and we shall take advantage of it. Because, you know, he was seeing the people. Nobody was in the park. They were all in their cars going to work in the morning. And the devotees were in the park enjoying. So they make it and they can't even use it. Maybe on the weekends they can. So this is intelligence, Prabhupada said. It is called ajagra vritti. The big snake is ajagra, and the mouse make a hole and want to live there, and they're comfortably living. In the meantime, the ajagra comes, eats the mouse, and lives comfortably. So that is our ajagra vritti. You work for the whole to live comfortably, but we take possession of the house and live comfortably. Los Angeles, the storekeepers, they ask our men, you do not work, you live so comfortably, and working so hard, we cannot live so comfortably. I know, My family don't understand how I'm flying all around the world with no money. And they can't even, you know, anyway, whatever. So then Prabhupada says, but as soon as we ask them, you also come and join, they will not. No, we shall work like this. We are asking everyone, come here. But that will not come. And Prabhupada says, they're envious. Therefore, they say, we are escaping. They're living at the cost of others so comfortably. That is their enviousness. They see, oh, they've got so many cars, their face is bright, they're eating nicely, and they have no problem. So they're envious, as the Brahmins said. So in the old days, the Brahmanas were taken care of by the Kshatriyas. So Prabhupada wanted us to become Brahmanas. He wanted to create a society of Brahmanas. Now, why were the Brahmanas so happy? They're coming to meet Krishna. Why are they so happy chanting? Because they have a relationship with Krishna. As we heard yesterday from Charatma, that we all have different types of relationships with Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So, and we heard how the devotees and Krishna are meeting. So, you know, we hear about separation. Now, we're hearing about meeting in this particular section of Bhagavatam. How do the devotees, what do they do when they meet Krishna? In case you meet Krishna, this is what you do. And so we heard yesterday, what do you do? Some of you will be, Krishna was bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking with smiles, giving assurances, awarding benedictions. But now we're not exactly meeting Krishna. So how can we relate with Krishna in separation? The same way in meeting and the same way in separation, chanting. Chanting. When you meet Krishna, you can chant like the Brahmanas did. And when you're separated from Krishna, you can also chant. You can also chant Hare Krishna. And there's benefit. In Bhagavatam, it gives a benefit in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Shimbatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hiranta Stahibhantani Kitunoti Sahitsatam. That Krishna, he's Paramatma Super Soul, and he's the benefactor, he's Suhit, he's the benefactor of the truthful devotee, Satam, and he cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. which are virtuous and properly heard and chanted. So in this purport today, the last sentence in the purport, it says, Lord Shri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. So that's what that verse says, punya shavana kirtanam, that when we chant, we create punya, we create pious activities. Prabhupada commented on that in a lecture, that anyone who comes, he was talking in Vrindavan, and there were so people, he said, anyone who comes here, even if he doesn't understand a single word we're speaking, if he simply hears, he becomes pious. So one time Prabhupada was giving classes in Vrindavan, and devotees weren't coming because he was speaking in Hindi in the evenings in the temple. And what one or two devotees were coming, and Prabhupada asked the devotee who was coming, why aren't the others coming? And that devotee said, well, because you're speaking in Hindi and they don't understand. And Prabhupada said, no, they should come. Just hearing will help them. And so in another lecture on Queen Kunti's prayers in Los Angeles, Prabhupada said that every word, every obeisance is being counted by Krishna. Every mouth of prasadam. It's putting in our spiritual bank accounts, and one day we'll have enough to purchase Krishna when it gets big, when we have a lot in our account. So if you don't have a big bank account here, don't worry. You have a spiritual bank account. And that will take you to your next life. You can't take your other bank account with you, but this one you take. So Krishna's helping Suhit. We heard about the different types of friends in this is also from the verse about chanting that he is Surit, he is our best friend. Ever well-wishers, Prabhupada would write in his letters, your ever well-wisher. So how is he helping us? He's cleaning our heart when we chant, Vitunoti. Because he's anxious, he sees, oh, my son, my daughter, they are in difficulty, let me help them. So it's another meaning of Surit Satam, Prabhupada gives, intimate friend of the devotees. He's our intimate friend. Not just a friend, he's an intimate friend. So we chant, and we're in the level, a lot of us are in the stage of anartha nivritti, clearing, cleansing the heart, clearing all the dust. So the next verse of the series in first canto, second chapter is Nashta Prayesha Badveshi, but we know that verse. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. So then if we have some problems, then this is the remedy, Prabhupada said. Here is the remedy to eliminate all inauspicious things in the heart. And what is the remedy? Association of the Bhagavatas. That is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Prabhupada explains in his lecture, Tadiya Seva, it is not directly to Krishna, but it is to his, not to approach Bhagavan directly, not Bhagavan Seva, Bhagavata. Bhagavata is the person, Bhagavata is the book. And he also says, Bhagavata includes Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Guru, Tulsi, temple, preaching, books, these are all Bhagavata. So we have a lot of Bhagavatas to serve. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya doesn't just mean Srimad Bhagavatam. We serve Tulsi, we serve the devotees, we serve preaching. This is all Bhagavata Sevaya. And so, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And then the dirty things, abhadra, they will be removed from our heart. And I think I probably mentioned this before, but they're is a percentage of dirty things that will be removed when we come to Nishta, and that Prabhupada in his lecture explained is 75% will be removed. When that much is removed from our heart, then we come to Nishta. We come to the next level, firm faith, we become fixed. And in some lectures he gives more concession, 50%, 60%. We have hope here. How does this happen? It all begins with Gaura Thai, actually. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita Gaura Rai Pushantau Chita Shandau to Monito. I offer respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have risen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to bestow benediction upon all. So this is around close to 100, Adi 1, 100. The sun and moon dissipate the darkness of the external world, this is a verse, and reveal external material objects like pots and plates. But these two brothers dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart. So they help us meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas, persons or things in relation with Krishna. So Gaudiya Thai comes in our heart, and we meet the two Bhagavatas, and the two Bhagavatas give us bhakti. And when we get bhakti, then we can control Krishna. So that's what the verses, those verses say. Now, so what happens after that? The Bhagavatam explains to Dara Jastavo Bhava, Kamaloba, Dayaschaya, Chete Taranavitam, Stiktam, Safe, receive the tea. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart, and the devotee is established in goodness. And he becomes completely happy. So if you're in the mode of goodness, that means you're happy. Chitta etar anavidam, if we're not in goodness, then there's this passion and ignorance are piercing our heart. Anavitam, vitam means piercing. So whole, everything's in the heart, what's happening to us now. In this level of anarjuna vritti, and even beyond that, even beyond that. So when we go into after nishta, after beyond nishta, or even at nishta, then at that time we can become peaceful, mode of goodness. Tada, the verse says tada, verse 19, that when you have become a true brahmana, Prabhupada translates in his lecture, what does it mean at this time? When you've become a true brahmana. So he says, therefore, in our Krishna conscious movement, we're trying to bring everyone to the level of Brahman. And then we offer the sacred thread to recognize, now you're Brahman. So what does it mean? What is the mentality? That now I'll devote my life to Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada said to Bhakti Chada Maharaj, you spent billions of lives in sense gratification. Give this one life to Krishna. And if you want, you can have billions more lives of sense gratification. Your choice. So this is nishtha, give this one life to Krishna. And then you're satisfied. And the next verse in this series of verses in chapter 2, evam prasanna mana, so you're happy, prasanna mana, your mind is very happy. Bhagavad bhakti yogataha, bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service of the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So, yes, everything is in the heart. We chant, the Lord cleans our heart, verse 17, verse 18, almost all the dirty things are removed, verse 19, lust and greediness are removed. And now, we're happy. Now we're in the mode of goodness. We've come to the mode of goodness. We accept it, always jolly. And his lecture, Prabhupada said, if you're not happy, means Maya has attacked. You should be always feeling joyful. A devotee, Bhagavad Bhakta, will never feel unhappy. And then the next verse, Vidyate Hudyakantis, Chityante Sarasamshaya. Kshiyante chas karmani jishta eva marishare. A knot in the heart's pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces, and the chain of fruitive actions is terminated. Okay, is the knot in the heart? Ahamkara is the knot that ties together matter and spirit, ties the body and soul together. And liberation means simultaneously cultivating Krishna consciousness, positively chanting, doing the positive things, and also, on the other side, we have to give up our anarthas, avoid the offenses, So these are parallel lines. Prabhupada explains one side you should cultivate, another side give up the unwanted things. And so as Lord Rama says in Brahma Samhita, karmani nirdahati kintu chapati bhajam, that your karma is cut off. Here it also says your karma, when the ahankara is gone, then no more karma. The example is given of chickpeas. If you put them in the ground, they grow. If you fry them, they don't grow. So we have to fry our karma by chanting, by doing devotional service to Krishna. And so in his purport on this verse of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the darkness, the dense darkness of misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. That's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Chatushloki, 10th chapter, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, oh, the next verse, Tesham Evanukampartam. Jnana Nashavyatma Bhavasto Gyana Deepena Vashita. He gives the light of knowledge in the heart. And so, Prabhupada says, enlightenment comes from the Lord in the heart when you hear submissively. And this enlightenment perfectly enables devotee to distinguish spirit from matter because the knot is untied by the Lord. You don't have to cut it. He's going to untie it for you if you just keep on chanting. Keep on chanting Hare Krishna. And when the knot is loosened, all the doubts, misgivings are cleared off. And we see Krishna and we're happy and see ourselves too. So, different ways to do this. When he was giving a class in Chicago 1975, Prabhupada said to the book distributors that Vishwamitra performed heavy tapasya for 60,000 years. You can get the same benefit of this tapasya on a few days of Sankirtan. There you go. So anybody who's distributing books, you can get the Vishwamitra 60,000 years of tapasya by a few days of Sankirtan. Isn't that great? Yeah. That's one. Now, according, you see, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Now that was the book distributors Prabhupada reciprocating. Now with the pujaris in Vrindavan 1975, the same year, very difficult to get pujaris. Very austere in Vrindavan, living in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was saying the highest service a human being can perform is to be a pujari. Because although pujari has a material body, the pujari serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pujari wakes the Lord up, bathes, dresses, feeds him. These are activities of the spiritual world. The pujari does them in this world. This is the perfection of human life. There is nothing higher than being a pujari. If you're a pujari, you've attained your constitutional position even within samsara. This person is liberated. Oh yeah, we have examples like Janani Vas and Pankajangri who are liberated souls. And yes. So Prabhupada encouraged everyone in their service. He encouraged everyone. He encouraged the pujaris. He said, at the same time he said, you know, one who's cleaning the temple, he's the same level as the pujari. And he even said, an ant on the lotus feet of Krishna is the same as the pujari. So yeah, Prabhupada saw equally everyone. So chanting is very important. It protects us. As it says in the second canto, chapter 3, Ayurharati vai punsam udyanastan chayanasak dasyarta yakshananita utama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases duration of life of everyone except one who uses the time discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Again, in the first canto, 16th chapter, it is said, Aho niloke pieta hari linamrita vacha. Drink this nectar, human beings, as long as Yamaraj who causes everyone's death is present here, no one shall meet with death. So Yamaraj likes to come to Bhagavatam class. So if he's here, you're protected, because he's listening. I don't have time to take you. So he's forgetting about you. So the great sages have invited Yamaraj to Bhagavatam class. And we are with the great sages here also. So therefore, Bhagavatam says, Sutta Goswami says, living beings should take advantage of this nectar, hearing the deathless nectar in the form of narration of the pastimes of the Lord. So then again, beginning of Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Drink this Bhagavatam, drink this nectar. And Prabhupada has made it into juice, it's a rasa. So it's easy to drink, we don't have to chew it. So Yamaraj is not to be feared by the devotees. If we're chanting, we're protected. And so many examples of that, of chanting, protecting the devotees. But Prabhupada did mention that the Yamadutas are wandering, looking for sinful people. People experience this, patients who are dying in the hospitals, they experience the Yamadutas. There's a medical term for it called terminal restlessness. Terminal restlessness. That they start, you know, shouting, let go of me. And they feel like they're bound up with ropes. They feel different things. They see the Yamadutas. There was one example of a relative of one devotee. And he was in the hospital. The grandchild, who was a devotee, went to visit. I guess it was the grandfather. And he was going, oh, go away from me, go away from me. And she saw the Yamadutas, the child. She was 13 years old. She saw the Yamadutas in one corner of the room. And because they didn't know what to do, because the father was so upset. So then the daughter, the mother of the grandchild, the child told, oh, I can see these creatures. And the mother went and embraced the father and started chanting. And then he calmed down, and she said, are they gone? And he said, yes, they went. So the patients in the hospitals, they experience this. They call it terminal restlessness. But the good news is that the Vishnu Dutas are also wandering, looking for those who are chanting Hare Krishna to help the devotees. The Vishnu Dutas are wandering around, and so therefore we need to always protect ourselves by chanting. Now, Kirtanaya Sadahari, that's in Shikshastik, always chant, and Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya, always serve Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was leaving his body, he saw the Vishnu Dutas. Now here's another good thing we can do, another reason why to chant Hare Krishna. And he saw he understood these are servants of the Lord, but he was very puzzled and hastiness. He forgot how to receive them in the proper way. So he just offered obeisance with folded hands, and he chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord. He chanted the holy name. He didn't know what to do when he met the Vishuddhas. So in case you don't know what to do, just chant Hare Krishna and offer obeisances. The Prabhupada says in the purport, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is perfect. This is 4.12.22. Even though one does not know how to please Lord Vishnu or his associates, simply by sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord, everything becomes perfect. A devotee, therefore, either in danger or in happiness, constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra. When he's in danger, he's immediately relieved. And when he's in a position to see Lord Vishnu or his associates directly, by chanting this Maha mantra, he can please the Lord. This is the absolute nature of Maha mantra. Either in danger or in happiness, it can be chanted without limitation. Srila Kirti says that once in L.A., Prabhupada said, if it were not for the chanting of the Maha Mantra, you boys and girls could not do anything. In the West, you have used so many drugs, you cannot accomplish anything. Chanting Hare Krishna has enabled you to get all these temples and devotees. It is simply Krishna's mercy and the chanting. So Bhargava, the photographer, he said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fight with my godbrothers, is that bad? Prabhupada said, no, not necessarily. He said, sometimes I have problems and the spiritual master is not there, it's too detailed for the scriptures. What should I do? So Prabhupada said, if you chant Hare Krishna very nicely, all the answers will come from within. And Prabhupada, so devotee asked, well, how do we chant with attention? And Prabhupada said, seven words. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So he's got the ears, the tongue, and the heart. Those three need to go together. And he said, Sankirtan will keep you happy, the books will keep you convinced. So Narayan, my godbrother, is describing how Prabhupada was talking to Allen Ginsberg, how bad Kali Yuga is going to get. No more trees, no more fruits, no vegetables. The fruits will have big seeds surrounded by skin. Animals will eat all of us. So Allen asked, and your devotees, will they be in the caves? Prabhupada said, my disciples will have gone back to Godhead by then. And Allen Ginsberg said, oh, really? Prabhupada said, yes, they are very advanced. They're going to go back very shortly. They're chanting. They're taking part in this process. They're becoming pure devotees in this lifetime. So Allen said, yes, and what will happen to the rest of us? And Prabhupada leaned over to Allen, and Allen leaned to Prabhupada. Allen, at the end of Kali Yuga, I will eat you, and you will eat me. To avoid this, you must go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada has given us this wonderful process, change of heart. We just have to follow it and be patient and persevere and keep on chanting Hare Krishna. So I will stop there if there's any questions, comments, and ask.
Thank you. That's so interesting how the process is so scientific that when a certain percentage of our anarthas is removed, like it's a percentage, then we can achieve nishta and peace.
Yeah.
That makes sense because the anarthas are the things that are keeping us away from that.
Basically, the modes of passion and ignorance. And we come in goodness. When we're in goodness, then that's it. That's nishta.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
You are saying that Prabhupada told Bhakti Chandra Maharaj, in your life you went for sense gratification, give this life.
Right.
But then you mentioned that is nishta. Is that Prabhupada said that is a nishta state or that is nishta just as your expression?
You're asking if he said this is nishta. I think I said this is nishta.
Oh, okay.
But Prabhupada did quote in his lecture that, it could be he said it's nishta. It could be. I have to just check that and see. That was I think I can find it.
Because I was relating to one verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was conversing with Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah, he said it's nishta.
Prabhupada said.
Yeah. And this is in a memory of Bhakti Chandra Maharaj. It's not in a lecture.
Oh, I see.
It's in a memory.
Nishta.
He said, this is nishta. Give this one life for Krishna.
Nishta stage or nishta just?
Nishta, firm faith.
Just
faith.
Expression.
Not stage.
Yeah, okay.
Just, okay, this is firm faith.
That's good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's firm faith. Yeah.
I want to also maybe express in a way, maybe you can correct me. The process is perfect. And what will be the outcome of the process when somebody rigidly performs sadhana every day?
Mm.
But consciousness is the most important of a sadhaka, where maybe it's blocking sometime, like the process is working but I cannot perceive it because my consciousness I'm not changing or spiritualizing consciously.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that we may be advancing but we may not be able to perceive it? Is that what
Correct.
You're saying?
Because the process works, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But if I'm not reflecting what is happening in my consciousness and I'm not trying to examine and correct it, or proper attitude is not developing, that's up to me, because I need to really examine and really appreciate the devotees who are helping instead of like judging or... So consciousness, because it's not spiritualizing in a sense like a, not aligned with the devotional principle that Madhurya Kadambini explained. So then doubt started rising, like, well, I'm chanting for decades, what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a level of anartana vritti, that you will go through this. It's a stage. The doubts come, the misgivings come. Even before that, you might have thought, wow, I'm such, you know, I'm making so much advancement, I'm happy, I'm this, I'm that. But, you know, then that level comes, and devotees who are not aware of that, they can leave at that point. But His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami said there's four causes of fall down. One of the four causes is ignorance about the path.
Ignorance about the path.
Yes, ignorance about the path. And when he said that, like you don't know. You think you're doing great. You're with the devotees. Is that? Then all of a sudden you get some doubts and misgivings. You get to an artana vritti. You think you don't realize that this is a level that you go through. This is a stage, and you're going to get out of it. You think, oh my God, this is it. So I did the wrong thing. Now let me go back to material life. Let me do another path, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know that, if you're ignorant that, and ignorant that you're also going to go through, not everybody else is going to go, you're also going to go through that path too. You're also going to go through an artana vritti. It's not for everybody else. Just. It's going to hit you too at some point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, unless you're already on Ruchi and Bhava and all that, you're going to go through it.
This is a very interesting point you made, the ignorance. Because I was, recently I was doing some research, also I was relating my life also, you know, while we were researching that. And I was thinking like, one friend of mine, one of your godfathers, I will say the name, and he was very honest, and he says that it seems like after following for decades and doing Sankirtan and everything, we're supposed to see some glorious result instead, like some petty things like pulls us down for like the sense enjoyment mode, or this or that, or some confrontation with God brother, God sister, and it's like I don't see it like actually seriously progress. I thought it's automatically. I said, well, bhakti is not automatic.
No.
Intentional with commitment and endeavor. They have to go side by side. And then, of course, the result is... But then Prabhupada also said in one lecture I heard, Prabhupada said, our subtle body is purifying. We cannot see that. But we can probably examine and see actually, yes, the consciousness is...
It's a purport. 5.135. That our subtle body is purified by the chant. We're changing our body by chanting. We're changing our subtle body. Not we're changing gross. We're changing our subtle body when we chant. So we're changing to a body of a Brahmin. And that's the argument against the Brahmins who said, you have to change your body. You have to get a birth of a Brahmin. Prabhupada says, yes, we're changing our body, our subtle body, by chanting. We have the bodies of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas by chanting.
Hmm.
Subtle bodies. That's in a purport.
But then 10.14.8, it says that sometime if I don't let go my old some impression that lingering there, the Krishna will make an arrangement that to approve this, I may take it as gosh, what did I get after all these decades chanting?
Also, in regard to your description of your godbrother feeling like he's not making progress, one Srila Prabhupada addressed that question. That one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, seems like I'm getting more bad qualities now. I'm seeing all these bad qualities. And Prabhupada gave the example of if you have a room that's very dirty and you start cleaning that room, what happens? The dust starts to fly. He said, so when we chant, our heart is very dirty and the dust is flying and we're seeing it. We're seeing all the dust. We're seeing all the dust flying when we chant and do devotions. So we think, oh yeah, I didn't realize I had all these things. I had all these bad habits and emotions and things. So this is part of narrative vritti again.
That's expected, you are saying.
Yes, it's expected. This will happen.
That's nice. Yes.
That means you're in an artan of vritti.
Yes.
If you didn't see it before, that means you weren't yet.
Mm-hmm.
That means, okay, you're on this level now. You're on this level of an artan of vritti.
Well, you know, some quotes to inspire, feel inspired is good. But anarthana vritti is not like inspiration. In a sense it is, but anarthana vritti is like, ah.
Oh. Yeah, it is. But it's also it's hope. Okay, now I'm going through this level. That means there will be it's temporary. There will be an end to it.
Hmm. So look at that. That is ending.
Yeah. It means I'm getting clean. It means the dirt's coming out.
Now, what are the other three reasons for fall down?
Well, the other three reasons for fall down: lack of humility, lack of good association, and humility means pride. Lack of association with devotees and committing offenses. Those are the other three he said. Okay, I get my. Okay, well, is this a long comment? Okay, I'm reading it. Thank you for reminding all the various ways of Bhagavad Seva. Just yesterday I spent 2 hours in discussion for TOVP Seva. Despite getting up at 3:30, I had to go back to hear class later. So in Krishna consciousness, resolve all paradoxes, like we can have anxiety and be happy in Krishna's service. I always remember what Srila Prabhupada said to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj when he said to Srila Prabhupada that he could not chant properly because of anxiety. And Srila Prabhupada said that it was this anxiety that would take him back to Godhead. This is not to minimize chanting, but, and then it ends. And this is from Govinda Ghosh. Swaha Ambarish.
Yeah, that's from
Mother Swaha. Yeah, it ends, yes. Thank you for that comment. We do have spiritual anxiety. That anxiety, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that spiritual anxiety is the cause of great happiness. That's when I'm giving up, when I'm feeling anxiety, that's happiness for me. And so yes, that's also happiness. And we're happy when we have spiritual anxiety.
You mean the song,
the Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Yeah, there's.
But practically, how to make devotee understand them, that the
We can't understand how anxiety is happiness, but we have to go through the experience, I would say.
Oh, I see.
We can understand, okay, these great devotees are feeling happy, more happy by their anxiety. But I don't understand that right now, but in the future, let's see, maybe it will happen to me too. Maybe I will also understand this one day in the future. Thank you, Swaha.
So we should accept it as it is. We may not understand, but...
Yeah, we can accept it. I mean, what he talks about, the anxiety we should not be feeling is, where am I going to eat, where am I going to sleep? That anxiety.
Hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.